We've been talking about the use of long-term hormonal therapy today, both in terms of the treatment as well as prevention setting. And that brings in the issue of adherence to taking the therapy. And you were part of really a fascinating project that was presented at the ASCO meeting on that. I wonder if you could comment on that.
We worked with Brad Davidson, who's a linguist, not someone that medical oncologists work with on a routine basis. And he's from a company called MBS Vox that actually studies interactions between doctors and patients. And he did a fascinating study where he actually audiotaped and videotaped encounters between 28 oncologists and their patients who were postmenopausal and taking aromatase inhibitor therapy. And he looked to see whether on those return visits for patients who were on AI therapy, whether the oncologist was asking them about their adherence to the prescribed regimen. And adherence is interesting. It's a combination of compliance, that is the patient taking the medicine as prescribed, one pill a day, and persistence, that is, are they taking it over a long period of time? And so you put compliance and persistence together and you get adherence. Well, it was very distressing to see the results that Dr. Davidson found in that in virtually no encounter between oncologists and patients taking aromatase inhibitors, were there any targeted questions about persistence or adherence to the regimen? And there are published data that show that the decay over time in terms of patients coming off drugs is very, very high. There's more data published with tamoxifen than with AIs, but there are even some AI data that say as many as a third of the patients stopped the AIs within the first year, and by the second year, as many as half the patients have stopped taking their aromatase inhibitor. This should be distressing to all of us because it's obvious and probably trite to say, but the medication does no benefit if it's in the bottle and not in the patient. And I think we need to be aware, and I hope Dr. Davidson's study makes us all aware, that in fact, we as oncologists aren't doing a good job of asking patients whether they're taking the medicines as prescribed and are not helping patients overcome barriers. There's a number of barriers. The cost is a barrier. The side effects that we discussed, like arthralgias and myalgias, can be a barrier. But I think equally important is the misperception of the patients that if time has transpired and they're doing well, they're coming back for their second and third annual visits, their mammograms are fine, their physical exams are fine, they're having no symptoms. There is this unfortunate false belief among patients that if I'm feeling well and my exams are fine, that all the risk has passed. And therefore, it's not necessary for me to continue to take these medications. And I think what we've tried to emphasize in these studies, in our conclusions, is that it's important for oncologists, first of all, to be aware that patients are stopping their medications, that obviously they can derive no benefit if the medications have been discontinued, and that we need to regularly ask patients about whether they're taking the medications daily and whether there are any barriers to doing that, be they cost or symptoms or perceptions about the risk of recurrence. And I think this is something that we're going to need to educate ourselves about, because until these data became known, I don't think it was well recognized in our treatment communities that patients were stopping their medications.
And I guess this whole clinical approach in terms of trying to ask patients, et cetera, is something that has become a big part of primary care.
Yes. And in fact, there are published studies showing that for chronic conditions like hypertension and dyslipidemia and compliance with diabetes management regimens, that these issues about adherence and persistence and compliance are important there too. And as a clinician, you would think that if a person had a serious disease like a previous myocardial infarction or coronary artery bypass surgery or breast cancer, that when a medication was prescribed for the purpose of preventing a recurrence, that there would be uniform compliance. But in fact, across diseases, and this includes taking therapy for HIV disease, even in the organ transplant setting, there are data that say that patients stop taking the medications to prevent rejection. And there are data with imatinib among people with chronic myelogenous leukemia that say those patients stop their medications. So there's a wide spectrum of data that says this is a large problem across a number of chronic diseases, and we need to be more attentive to the fact that patients are discontinuing medications that provide great benefit, and we need to explore mechanisms to help patients to continue on these beneficial regimens?
You know, it's interesting. We've done surveys of physicians, we've done surveys of nurses, and we've done surveys actually of breast cancer patients asking, to what extent is this a problem? And all three groups say it is not a problem. Yes, the physicians, the patients say they've taken their medication. People aren't even interested in this really because they feel it's not a problem. What's the disparity between that perception and these data?
Well, these data suggest that perception is entirely wrong, that we're not in tune to the reality that when you actually look at things like prescription refills and availability of medications over time, that in fact patients are not being compliant. And I think the first step here is for us to recognize that they aren't persistent, they aren't adherent in these regimens, and to stop pretending that they're simply following our directions because we told them this is what they need to do. We need to ascertain with many strategies, be it pill counts or simply asking patients or with pharmacy records. We need to constantly assure that what we believe the patient is doing is what they're actually doing. And the data would suggest that, in fact, patients are not following our advice. And so more work needs to be done in this regard.